Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, KEReport.com, and podcast The KE Report. On this weekend show, we're sticking with a couple generalists that we feature on the show on about a monthly basis to get a more rounded look at these markets, at certain sectors, and at the commodities sector. We are kicking off this show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Rick writes the institutional newsletter called Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail and individual side, Rick writes in the No Trader a piece called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P. And also has just started up this year the Daily Tip Sheet, where Rick sends out something every week, just recapping his thoughts on the markets. Rick, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets. Bit choppier, let's say, for these markets. Some of that upward momentum has definitely waned over the last about week or two, but the markets aren't falling out of bed here. So give us some clarity, Rick, on how you're seeing these markets, the S&P in particular, please.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, the market is at least consolidating. We haven't seen that since kind of April, May. So after the good rally in June and July, we are finally seeing, again, some consolidation. Most of it really triggered by higher interest rates and, to perhaps a lesser degree, the U.S. debt downgrade by Fitch that took place last week. And that's really kind of been what's at least given finally some reason to prior longs to take some profits. And, of course, some new trading shorts are coming in. But you are seeing some profit-taking coming in off of that. And it makes sense after the run this has had. There are several upside exhaustion signals in place that we use from a variety of models. Timing models, for instance, from Tom DeMark suggest some upside exhaustion. Prior targets have been hit up and around this level. So no surprise, and we've cautioned our clients that first putting them on new longs on names that have rallied significantly right now come with the highest risk of drawdown than you've seen in the entire rally. And that's already been evident if you take a look at some of the moves in big cap tech, some of the high flyers, let's say the FANG type names. If you want to, and you can add the AI names into that, they are seeing some profit taking, and to me, rightly so, given the run that they've had, it does make sense to take some profits in them. Some of the valuations have gotten very stretched, and historically, even in the best of growth names, you can't typically hold on to 60 times earnings for very long, especially if there's a catalyst for the market to stop the rally. So it doesn't mean we have to have any significant sell-off. I'm not playing for one yet. I do think the S&P, which is trading right here at 4,500, still has the chance to trade down to 4,300 to 4,200. And there I'd be a more willing buyer than I am now. And even, today's Thursday, even today's rally has faded to some extent, and even though the S&P is up about 30 points, that's 20 off its high. So we are seeing still some selling into this general range, and I have no qualms with telling people to book some profits up here. If you find people willing to be the buyer to your selling and you've made some very handy profits over the last 6 months, why not take some? We're still in an unsure environment. And despite the fact that more and more people interviewed in the media have turned bullish, that doesn't necessarily mean that the market still has more to go. There's plenty of strategists on the street who have missed the entire move up, who are essentially forced to join the bullish camp. And that's the type of thing that me as a counter trend strategist and somebody who takes the approach that identifying the turns of the market are going to give you far more profit over time than playing the simple trend will. In other words, being positioned properly at a turn will do you better than simply just buying within a trend. On an absolute basis, you can make money if you buy in an uptrend and the uptrend continues, but you're not likely going to outperform a benchmark. And for instance, that 7-Eleven report that you mentioned when you were introducing me, the whole goal of that report is to outperform the S&P. We now have officially a 3-year track record doing this going back to August 1st, 2020. So on July 31st, we finished our 3 years. And in the 3 years, by picking no more than 7 of the 11 spider macro sector ETFs to be in each month, I have outperformed the S&P by 14.29 percentage points above what the S&P gave you in that same time. So dramatic outperformance by simply, well, it's not so simple doing, but the idea is simple. Be in the right sectors at the right time. And I have proven that you can do that. And that's where we come up with the 14.29% extra percent above what the S&P returned during the same time. And in general, when you have more people telling you that they're bullish and throwing in the bearish towel after the run we've had, I don't mind it at all taking some profits up here.
Well, Rick, I think you bring up a great point there about being invested in some of the sectors near the turn or as close to the turn as people can get versus waiting until it's so obvious that people are piling in maybe towards the end of a move. This is a very difficult concept for any investor or trader to get their head around. So I'd love to maybe dive under the hood as to how you identify when those turns are in place. Is it just the behavioral psychology side of things? Is it the technical analysis? Is it when you see PE ratios in NVIDIA of 222, which is way beyond 60? Some of these things are valued up into the stratosphere. How do you identify when something is overcooked or undercooked to be able to get in near the turn and catch most of the move as opposed to chasing the move?
So the process, Chad, includes, I'd say, the basic different categories strategy one can employ. And what we do is, and I say we, it's me, what I do is combine multiple strategies. So, for instance, yes, we look at fundamentals in the marketplace and of the sectors. I have access to what I believe is the best quant model on the street. And I use the quant model's input on the different sectors. I use technicals. I use market timing, actually more than even technicals. That's 4. And the 5th is the behavioral side that you mentioned. And that's one of the, I'd say the timing side and the behavioral side is where I have a real edge over most people who play this game because, look, a lot of people can, you know, have the basic understanding of how to read a chart. So if you have a basic understanding, and any portfolio manager or team can do that. The fundamentals you can get access to. Quant, there's lots of quant models out there. I happen to really be partial to the quant model I use. But then there's the market timing side, and in my 42-year career on the street, I have always been known as one of the best market timers out there. So being able to time when to exit and enter sectors is how I can be positioned for a move to come before everybody else jumps on board.
All right, Rick, we are out of time for this segment. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Now, Rick, since you are in a bit of a profit-taking mode, it sounds like, for some of those trades that have made you money, I'm curious to hear if you're rotating that money into other sectors, if you're going to be sitting on the sidelines with it. Any insights you can give us on if you are simply rotating money into other parts of the market, please?
So I don't want to go into the seven names that, you know, the seven sectors that we currently have in the portfolio, but I can tell you recently I added industrials on the pullback. I did get out of staples recently, and the good thing is when I do a sector change, it's not too often that we change sectors. But when I do a sector change, the intent is that it's good for at least 3 to 6 months. Now, if something dramatically changes from what I thought would happen, then, you know, I'll alter it at the next month. But generally, if I pull something out, I'm pulling it out because I don't think over the next 3 to 6 months it's going to outperform. I finally pulled Staples out. I had it in as a defensive piece, but they just had been giving back too much this year. And, you know, it was costing me some performance by being in an underperforming sector. When you think about it, the process here, or at least the concept, is an easy one. Be in the right sectors at the right time, right? It should be, you know, as a simple goal. It doesn't get much simpler than that. Being able to do it, however, is obviously very difficult because that's what every portfolio manager does who's benchmarked to the S&P, and virtually nobody can do it. So the idea of being in the right sector is you've got to kind of be on top of the flows, where people are positioned, why are they positioned where they're positioned. And it really also comes down to trying to outsmart the players who are doing this and whether or not you really have an edge. I nibbled on financials a few months ago. I actually pulled it out. And this month they are outperforming a bit, and I had a reason to buy them, what I did from timing models. And I'll have to see, because I mean, right now financials are in the best place they've been since April, and I might have been wrong to have pulled it out. I'll see as the month progresses. Only once in the 36 months have I ever done an intermonth change, you know, a swap. So I generally, once a month, I update the portfolio. And usually it's just tweaking how much percentage I'm in the seven names. Again, it's not that often that we swap out actual sectors. But I do have the ability, as laid down in my own, let's call it, there is no formal mandate, but because I do this on the first of each month, I do have the ability to be somewhat tactical, and if something I put on isn't working, I can get out, and if something, you know, I need to take profits in, I can do. So I have, the way I set this 7-Eleven report up, I have more flexibility than a lot of portfolio managers who, let's say if they decided they want to be long energy, they're long energy, and they may be long energy for, you know, 6 months, a year, or 3 years. I have more flexibility than that. But I really do, you know, closely monitor what we're doing and make sure that as best I can that what we're doing is the right thing. And of course, I can't tell you that I outperform every month. I don't. But for instance, last year I outperformed 11 out of 12 months in 2022. This year it's kind of more split down the middle, and I'm not materially ahead of the S&P this year. In fact, it's pretty much a wash. This has been one of the more difficult years, and I talk to portfolio managers all day long. I have not spoken to a portfolio manager yet who's ahead of his benchmark this year. So it's been a very difficult year, and moves have come that clearly were not expected. The fact that energy was the best performing sector last year and the worst performing sector this year certainly caught a lot of people off guard. You know, financials continuously getting hit with Silicon Valley and stuff, but they bottomed in July, and they are starting to bounce. So, again, that one I'll have to check up on. Tech, I've lowered exposure in going into August 1st. I kind of figured that tech had as much chance to outperform this month as it did to underperform, and that's the first time in months that I saw that. So I lowered and got closer to benchmark weighting on that. So, you know, it's really just putting all these pieces together. I have spreadsheets that I know what the quant model thinks. I see what, you know, the timing models do. I look at basic technicals. And of course, I'm an advanced technician, but I'll still look at some of the basic stuff. especially horizontal lines that you see, or the sectors and trading ranges versus the S&P, are they really directionally moving? It's just putting them all together to come up with then kind of a simple formula of what I should do for each sector each month.
So, Rick, I have one more question for you then, since we're talking big picture here. We hear about a potential recession almost daily. People are saying we've avoided a recession. Some people are still saying, it's just been pushed back, maybe into next year, 2024. What's your thought on this narrative, and does it impact your trading, as you just went through the behavioral finance aspect of it all?
It does. So the big recession that was talked about in 2022 hasn't hit. We might have had smaller rolling recessions. Some will say we officially had a recession in the middle of last year when we had two negative quarters of GDP. I don't use that as definition of a recession. It's much more involved for me than a simple statement of two quarters in a row of negative GDP. But I don't think it's off the table. And I think the question that the biggest issue here will end up being interest rates and whether or not they spike higher. And, the Fed has continuously said, without fail, higher for longer. And the market, many in the market haven't wanted to believe it. Hedge funds have, because they've been more short bonds than I think it could be record. I think it's record setting, their position being short bonds. So hedge funds have been completely leaning towards higher interest rates. The investment side of the investing community, the portfolio managers who run fixed income funds that aren't hedge funds, are more long bonds, thinking that rates are coming lower. If we take out 4.33, we could easily get to 4.75 to over 5%. And in that scenario, I don't see the stock market making new all-time highs like so many of the perma bulls are saying. I don't see it even hanging here at 4,500.
Okay, Rick, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks for sharing some of your, I think, bigger picture thoughts on these markets and what you use to trade these markets in different sectors, how you isolate when swings could be happening. We'll be chatting with you again next month, and, hey, we'll dive into some of the individual sectors as well and how you are seeing those set up as we start to exit summer. So, Rick, thank you very much for your time on this weekend show. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat again next month.
Thanks for having me, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Update. Hawaii vacationers are being told to stay away from Maui.
Contact either their travel agent or their hotel where they're staying and see the impact.
Airlines, including Delta, Southwest, and United, offering travel waivers or options to either reschedule or cancel flights to the island. An investigation underway after a 3-year-old girl from Venezuela died in Illinois after being sent from Texas on a bus full of migrants. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has bussed thousands of migrants to Illinois. The federal judge overseeing Donald Trump's 2020 election interference case issuing a protective order over the handling of evidence. A ban on assault-style weapons being upheld by the Illinois Supreme Court. That law had faced months of legal challenges. Corey Myers, USA News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to continue our focus on kind of the macro environment as well as dive into more some of the commodity sectors as we are now chatting with Nick Hodge, co-owner of Digest Publishing and editor of Foundational Profits and Hodge Family Office. Now, Nick, whenever we have you on, approximately every month, we always start with the macro outlook. Reiterating what we've been talking about over the last couple months is this recession, the upcoming recession, keeps getting pushed back. Who knows? We might get a recession by the end of this year. A lot of people are now saying, look into 2024 for that recession. I want to ask you, though, outside of the U.S. data, which has remained, I guess, fairly resilient, although we are starting to see some cracks in the job market, China's data has continued to be weak. Earlier this week, we had more poor import and export data. That actually caused a bit of a sell-off in commodities and also in the markets. Nick, how important is it to see what China's doing for the bigger picture recession outlook that correlates to the U.S. as well?
Well, it's important. It's one of the largest economies in the world, one of the largest population centers, and they consume a lot of things, a lot of goods, a lot of materials, a lot of resources. And it was expected that China was going to come out of COVID with this great reopening this year, and got a lot of people bulled up, including myself, who was content to buy China as a country exposure earlier in the year. And then that would have been in like the March or April timeframe. And we quickly learned in the early summer months that China's reopening wasn't going to go according to plan, and that there was serious consternation in its real estate market. The consumer wasn't as strong as was thought earlier in the year. And so China's already talking about, you know, new forms of stimulus, cutting interest rates, et cetera. And that weighs a lot on the metals, obviously, as a big importer and a refiner and consumer of all the things, right? The rare earths, the copper, et cetera. And so, you've got to pay attention to China for all those reasons, and then use that and extrapolate what that might mean for the rest of the world. Certainly, looking at copper, hasn't been going up like oil's been going up, for example. And so copper's still saying that the world is not getting back to growth. The growth in China is 4 or 5%, not the 7 or 8% that was anticipated. And you're just moving, you know, westwardly across the world. You've got a Europe that remains in recession, that continues to have trouble with its banking sector. And so it's a tale of two types of data, not just in China and Europe, but in the U.S. as well. You said the data was quasi-resilient, although there was some, you know, cracks starting to show up in employment. You could do that dichotomy on multiple things, like look at small business sentiment, for example, and it will be juxtaposed to some other factors that you could look at, or look at PMIs, and they continue to show contractory nature. And so, but yet the stock market has continued to go up, at least on the whole, since last October. Inflation has moderated, and it's a confusing time, I think, because there's so many clear recessionary indicators and so many not clear recessionary indicators.
Well, Nick, let's dive into that a little bit further, because it really is a mixed bag for investors to try to navigate. And it's a year where we came into it hearing everybody at the end of 2022 pretty bearish on the outlook for the economy and even for the markets. Last year was a pretty tough year for most markets, most things trending down, precious metals kind of going neutral. But most markets had a rough year last year, and everybody's expecting the pain and the recession to start showing up in the first or second quarter. When you look at the GDP numbers, they haven't been stellar, but they've been in the positive territory. When you look at the jobs area, people were expecting more weakness. They've actually held up a little bit better and beat expectations something like 14 out of the last 15 months, which is a little unusual, such a track record of job number beats. But then you look at things like the manufacturing, the outline, which is, you could argue, isn't a recession. And there's other elements like the yield curve being inverted that are usually the harbinger for a recession coming. It's been inverted for more than a year now. So with all these things, dumbbells on both sides of things, the positive and the negative, how are you playing the setup as far as with your subscribers, as far as going into the second half of this year? Are you more defensive? Are you optimistic that the stock market's bumped up a little bit? How are you playing things with this kind of turbulent mixed bag we get?
I'm not changing the playbook too much. And you'll have to remember that I do two things. One, I do macro positioning and sort of, you know, managing my long-term safe capital. And then I do a bit of a speculation. So two different buckets there. On the first bucket, I continue to hold about 25 to 30% cash and have been, you know, long select stocks. We were long consumer staples. We've been long some defense exposures, like U.S. Defense spending exposures, for example. We've been in the precious metals. We've been in lithium, but we've been really cautious, and I continue to be cautious. I think what I'm going to do is a bit of rotation. You know, those sort of mainstream stocks, some of them that we've been in, I'm going to look to take some profits here as we head into the second half of the year, because the stock market has been buoyant. I've been saying that you should use this sort of slowdown or pullback in commodities to position. I think I'm going to start doing some of that, specifically in the copper space with something like a BHP or a Rio, for example. And I think I'm going to get back into energy. We played energy really well in 2021 and got out before, you know, oil sort of, it went back down. And now oil is looking like it wants to go back up, at least for, you know, like a 3 to 6 month time frame. So I'm looking to get into a bit of energy stocks and then some emerging markets ex-China, which I'm not sure if we've talked about on this show or not before, but emerging markets are looking okay, both in Asia and China. in South America. And so we positioned there a bit, but still cautious, still expecting that the broader markets are in a larger overall bear market, despite their rise of late, and still expecting a recession to come, even if it is in 2024. And that's how, you know, we're positioning on the safer, more retirement macro side of things. And then the speculations, we're down on the amount of positions we typically hold. We don't have as many, haven't been writing as many checks this year. Are looking forward to a few companies that we own that have, you know, active drilling seasons going on right now. Looking forward to those drill results coming out here in the fall. I'm looking forward to getting into conference season when I think there will be a bit of tick up in news from the companies that were able to drill, either because they had cash or because the region that they're in is not on fire. And so that's how I'm looking at the next couple of months.
Yeah, you are right, Nick. I think we will start to see some more news come out of these companies more after summer is over. Even some of the comments we've gotten from companies saying that, quite frankly, news releases have been a selling event, a liquidity event, and their companies holding back on news, and they've also cut down on some of the programs that they've been doing. So that slow news flow environment definitely does not help to garner interest in the sector, but you know what? Unfortunately, flat metals prices don't either. So maybe a pop in the metals price, maybe a bit more interest coming into the sector, all of which would be, I think, maybe better, could draw some interest into the sector, but I know it's been a slow summer and we're all watching some of these juniors just continue to drift lower. Either way, Nick, we'll be chatting with you next segment, so everyone stick around. We're going to wrap up the show with Nick Hodge.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here we are, wrapping up this weekend's edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Nick Hodge. Now, Nick, continuing our focus on the commodity sector and even how it potentially relates to economic data, future economic moves, can you make sense of this environment where we see copper kind of stuck below $4, moving sideways? But oil has been breaking out here. Both can be and are used as economic indicators, but they're not showing the same picture. And clearly, oil kind of going to the beat of its own drum right now.
Yeah, I think oil is looking more shorter term, looking at this sort of eye of the storm between the whammies of recession, looking at a strategic petroleum reserve in the U.S. that remains unfilled. And looking at some of the growth that is happening in these emerging markets. And so it's become a bit buoyant. It's also got, you know, some obviously industry groups like OPEC talking about limiting production. So it has that factor as well. And then on the copper side of things, I think, you know, the doctor is looking still out at these recessionary indicators that we're seeing, saying that slowing growth is going to keep a lid on the demand for copper and base metals for the short to medium term. And that's how I'm thinking about it in my mind, right? Like, and I can talk about that in terms of positioning too. Like I talked about getting back into energy, you know, via something like an SPDR energy fund, XLE, for example, which we may hold for 3 or 6 months, until we see oil bubble up a little bit higher. And at the same time, then starting to position in copper while it's soft, which I've been saying I was going to use the softness this year to do for something that's going to be longer term, because I see a much longer term secular copper bull market than I do for oil, right? Given the amount of money that's coming from governments and industry for decarbonization, electrification, et cetera. And so I know there's going to be a super cycle in commodities that I want to get positioned for. But, you know, I'm not as convinced. And in fact, I don't think there's going to be a super cycle for oil. So can play oil in the short term for its short to medium term bullishness, and can position for copper for the long term because of its short-term, you know, waffling nature. I don't want to say bearish, but certainly copper is not bullish. And beyond that, I mean, market has all sorts of different machinations, right? But what I just said is how I'm thinking about it.
I appreciate you sharing your outlook there. So maybe more short to medium term bullish on the oil space and energy space. And then for the energy metal, copper, maybe more of a long term structural play where it's going to take time for these green initiatives and decarbonization initiatives and electrification narratives to really take hold, especially considering how long it takes to develop and build copper mines. Another metal that's an energy metal, though, and ties into the energy picture is uranium. I know you follow the nuclear sector and what's going on the macro side there and also the companies, Nick. What's your outlook on something like uranium, one of the energy metals?
I'm bullish on uranium, obviously, in the long term. I think people get a bit overallocated and do a bit too much cheerleading. It's a relatively small portion of my overall net worth and maybe a medium-sized portion of my, you know, my speculative portfolio. You had a good run in uranium into early 2022, and then, you know, the wind was sort of taken out of the sails, the spot price came back down, and the stocks sort of sold off. Now, they didn't make a round trip to where they were in 2020. They sort of had, I don't know, call it a 50% correction. And they're consolidating there very nicely. So they're building a very strong base. That's the equities I'm talking about. And some equities like Cameco, for example, have actually done quite well. If you pull up a chart of CCJ or CCO, depending on what country you sit in and which ticker you look at, you'll see that Cameco, has been doing very well. And then you look at a chart of uranium itself, the spot price I'm talking about, like a UxC chart or something like that, and you'll see that it's also consolidating higher. It's consolidating up around $56 a pound, and that's a consolidation that started, let's call it late spring, early summer, right? You had the wind come out of uranium sales in 2022. Uranium sold down to around $45 a pound last summer. But it's slowly been ticking up since last summer, bringing it all the way to this summer now, where it's gotten back up to $55 a pound and is consolidating between $55 and $56 a pound. And that's a really good place for it to consolidate, because if you can break out north of that $55 to $60 a pound range, which it tried to do last spring, the spot price of uranium, you're really in a spot that you can break out to higher prices, the $65 to $70, which I should remind readers or those new to the space is starting to get to the price that some of these producers need to actually make money. You'll know or you'll remember that even where we're sitting today at $55 or $56 a pound uranium, that not a lot of companies are making money, probably just like the Kazatomproms and the Cameco's of the world. At the same time, you're seeing more legislation and more backing, right? So the Senate attached like a North American / U.S. uranium domestic production bill to the most recent defense spending bill that went through. And of course, the acts that were passed during the COVID era, Inflation Reduction Act, et cetera, were putting through a lot of money to incentivize not only nuclear plants extending their lives and bringing new small modular reactors online, but also shoring up the domestic and then the North American, not just supply of uranium, but also the refinement, the purification, which is a very important step and one that the U.S. doesn't have a lot of, capacity in. And then you add on, some recent events here, like coups and unrest that you're seeing in Africa, right? Whether that's Namibia, which I'm not sure if I talked about with you last time, where the energy and mining minister was talking about wanting larger stakes of resource projects, and of course that's where Langer Heinrich is, or like the situation that's been unfolding for the past couple of weeks in Niger, but you know, where you could see new leadership, where you could see a nationalization or quasi-nationalization of resources, and of course Niger, formerly being under the control of French, supplies a lot of France's nuclear fuel material, given that, that France is, you know, 70 or 75% powered by nuclear reactors. And so I guess if I'm adding on just one more thing that's starting to coalesce is that, you know, governments are finally, I think, starting to realize that all the climate and electrification targets in the world don't mean a thing if there's not actually action happening on the ground, right? If we look around at the headlines we've been seeing about the temperatures of the oceans or the fires in different parts of the world, well, your plans for 2030 and 2040 and then 2050 don't really do anything for you today in 2023, but one thing that makes a lot of sense and people are finally starting to figure this out is adding more nuclear capacity, expanding the life of the nuclear capacity that we already have here, et cetera. Those are real world implementable solutions that can move the needle today. I mean, you know, having more nuclear power baseload and extending the life of them into the future is doing something now. And I say all that to say, it was a bit of a wandering road, but I wanted to hit on those sort of multiple tenets of the uranium market, is that you have a uranium price that's been outperforming several other sectors of the market, and we know that we're going to need more of it. And so I'm not calling for an imminent uranium breakup, but I am saying that the stocks have come down enough from their 2022 peaks, particularly some of these smaller ones in good jurisdictions, that they're probably worth a look right now. And if I'm looking at a uranium chart, it certainly looks more bullish than bearish.
Fair enough. Just waiting for that next bull market, right? It's just one of those tougher environments for investors, as they have seen the gold price more or less go sideways, very close to all-time highs, and just not made really anything in the stocks. But hey, Nick, it's great having you on the show. I appreciate your thoughts and you taking time on this weekend to share your thoughts. Everybody else, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. We'll be back with you next week to cover these market moves. And as always, please email Shad and I with your thoughts on the show, our guests, and any companies you would like us to feature. Everybody, thank you very much for tuning in on this weekend show. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment. Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90. Fierce.